Okay, I just want to finish up some more ideas in this Mishnah. The Mishnah again is Yoshua ben Prachya said, "Aseh lecha rav," make for yourself a rav, and we discussed already the commentary of the Abarbanel and the importance of a person having someone to guide him and answer his questions. Uknei lecha chaver, and acquire a friend, and having done this, kol ha'adam lekaf zchus, and judge everybody favorably. Okay, the Sifsei Kohen says, Aseh lecha rav means the following. Chazal say that the leaders of the generation fit the generation. And when they merit, they have good leaders and leaders of a high stature. When they don't merit, then the leaders fit them, and they're not necessarily the best leaders, nor of the highest stature. And therefore, Aseh lecha rav, first, make yourself fit to have a leader, and then the leader will be commensurate to what you make yourself. So Aseh lecha, and then the rav will be according to what you make yourself. That echoes the following medrash, I think. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu, before he died, asked the Ribbono Shel Olam to appoint a leader in his place. And the Ribbono Shel Olam answered him, "Before you command me about my children, command my children about me." And he gives a marshal. There was a queen who was dying, and she said to her husband, "After I'm gone, please take care of our children." So the king said, "First tell our children to treat me with the proper respect, and before you tell me what I have to do with them." So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered Moshe Rabbeinu when he asked that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appoint a leader, that they first take care of the communal sacrifices that are brought every Yontif, as Korboni Lachmi. You worry about my sacrifices before you tell me to worry about my children and take care of them. So on the surface, very difficult medrash, that the Rabbanim will be more concerned about the sacrifices they bring for him than the than taking care of his children and appointing a leader. But the idea, I think, is the following. A leader can only be as good as the people who want to follow. If there are no followers, there are no leaders. And it's only if the people understand how to be a community and how to want a leader, to be able to lead that community and to want to be close to God, can the leader then be effective and bring them closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So therefore, the marshal is the following. The king tells the queen that you want me to take care of my children, and that would be an artificial thing. I don't need to be told to take care of them. If they'll treat me properly and act like children, of course a father takes care of his children. It'll be an automatic, natural thing. I won't have to do it because you told me to do it. So first tell them how to treat me properly and act as children should act, and then automatically I'll want to take care of them, and it's much better than having to take care of them only because I'm commanded to do so. It's the same thing. The Rabban Shem said, instead of telling me to appoint a leader, first make the Jewish people people who want a leader, who understand the importance of a leader. And this is the idea of the sacrifices. Sacrifices both represent the fact that they can unite into a community, because these were communal sacrifices. They can realize their connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every Yomtiv teaches us a different aspect of our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they can want to become closer. If they have all those needos, then of course they'll need a leader to be able to fulfill that. You won't have to tell me to appoint a leader. It'll be automatic. It'll be natural. So that's the idea of Aseh lecha rav. Make yourself, and then Memela, the Rav, the leader, will be more effective if you're the kind of person who wants to be a follower and is on the level to accept a good leader. Another idea of Asei Lecha Rav Uknei Lecha Chaver. The Doresh Leprakim says the following idea. Asei Lecha Rav over here does not mean appoint a Rav over yourself to advise you to... it means make someone into a Rav by supporting him. Support a Talmud Chacham who will become a Rav, and you be the one to support him. And in that way, Kinei Lecha Chaver, you will acquire a friend in the next world, because you'll share in the reward of that Talmud Chacham by supporting him, and you'll have a share in his share in the world to come. So if you make a Rav, in other words, support someone and enable him to become a Rav, then you will be acquiring a friend in the world to come, because that Rav will, the reward of his Torah will accrue to you in the next world.
Excuse me, how come many people make one Rav and they run to another Rav?
They what?
They have one Rav and then they run to another Rav.
Because people think that Rabbanus is like a supermarket, and you you go to the aisle where you find the best bargain and the most tantalizing food. And if you don't like what the Rav says, so you find another Rav. In fact, in Ger, years ago, the Ger Rebbe made takanos, he made various rules, because people were expending money extravagantly on weddings, and they felt that they had to invite the whole world, and people couldn't afford it. But in order to keep up with the Schwartzes, they felt compelled. So the Ger Rebbe made rules for his community that they could only have a certain amount of guests and only invite people of certain closeness in relation, and only have spend a certain amount on the food or whatever. And a wealthy man came to the Ger Rebbe, and he was making a wedding for his daughter, and he said, look, I can't keep these rules, because I want to make a wedding that's befitting my social stature, and I want to invite more people than the Rebbe allowed, and I want to have a more lavish wedding. So the Ger Rebbe said, if you have so much money, why don't you go buy another Rebbe? He said, but if you want me to be a Rebbe, you'll have to follow the rules that we make. Yeah. Okay, yeah, okay, that could be, but then you're not leaving the first Rav, you have set yourself up, right, that's not the same thing that she has. See why, if you don't know why somebody leaves somebody, or whatever. The, in addition, I don't know if that's a great idea either, right? A person should have one person that is the clearinghouse for all the shilas. If that person is not well versed in the things that he should ask the other Rav as a mumcha. But not that the person should shop around and decide who's a mumcha and who's not a mumcha and what shilas he asked this one and what. A person has to have one Rav that they follow, and that Rav hopefully is the kind of person that if he's not proficient will ask somebody else who is. Right? Just like in medical things, so ask a Rav who knows medical things or whatever, as you said. But it's still better not to shop around for different Rabbanim and you decide who's the proficient or what. Let the Rav that you have decide who's proficient and who's not proficient. Okay. The next idea, the Chesed Avraham says, Asei Lecha Rav means... even though you can learn from many, many people, but you can only have one Rav. Otherwise, again, you get confused. The Gemara says that somebody who learns from many people becomes confused. So you have to have one person that you go to And even though you can learn from many people, but you have one person that guides you and that pastors your shilas, and this way you avoid confusion. Okay. Others say that the three things that are mentioned in this Mishnah echo the three things that we started Pirkei Avos with, that the world exists al Torah, al Ha'avoda, the al Gemilus Chasodim. So Aseh Lecha Rav refers to Torah. When it comes to Torah, have a Rav who will guide you, answer your questions or whatever. A friend is somebody who will strengthen you, and together you'll be able to serve the Rabban Shlom better. That's Avoda. In doing mitzvahs, even in davening, person needs other people. Eino dome, yochid osis ha-mitzvah, l'rabim osis ha-mitzvah. There's no comparison of a person doing a mitzvah alone or doing it together with other people. And people need peer pressure. They need a support system. So having friends helps in your avodas Hashem, in your ability to do mitzvahs properly and in to do them in a quality way. That's avoda. And having done is called ha'odam l'katzchus, judging people favorably is gemilus chasodim. The biggest chesed you can do for somebody is to give them the benefit of the doubt. So that it covers all the three things that the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos starts with. Almost starts with that. That these are the foundations of Yiddishkeit.
Yes,
yeah. Yeah. Somebody. Yeah. Yeah.
What if you feel that the Rav is so busy that it's a burden on him? Is that the person's responsibility to think about, or just leave it to the Rav to take care of himself?
Yeah. Again, a person. Who you choose to be your Rav depends on a lot of conditions. If you live in a place where there's one Rav, then he's your Rav. Otherwise, live somewhere else. Right? You don't have to have that Rav as your Rav. You just don't have to live there. If you live in a place and there's one Rav, he's the Mor HaDa'asra, then he's your Rav. Many people live in big cities, and there are many Rabbanim around. Then you have, to a certain degree, a choice, except if you belong to a Kehillah, and the Rav is the Rav of that Kehillah, then that's your Rav. And you basically are bound to him. Right? If there are many Rabbanim, and you don't belong to any one specific Kehillah, first of all, there's something wrong with that. A person should belong to a certain Kehillah and have a Rav that knows them or whatever, and not speak to people that don't know them and whatever. It's not a good idea. The Rav should be somebody that knows you, gets to know you, it's close by, and knows the circumstances of the place where you live and what are the standards of the place you live. Okay, so it's good to have a Rav who's close by the home, who knows you and knows the neighborhood. And again, if there is one Rav in the place where you live, or you belong to a Kehillah, he's your Rav, whether you like it or not. You don't have to live there. You don't have to go to that Kehillah. But if you do, you're bound to that Rav. Now, if the Rav is not able to fulfill his responsibilities because he's too busy, I don't know what he's busy with, but in any case, he's supposed to be busy with the people that are supposed to be his congregants, not only congregants, but Talmidim, whatever they are, then you have a right to push yourself and to say that, look, I have... I'm stuck with you, and therefore you have a responsibility to me. So you don't have to say it in those words, because if you do, I guarantee you the Rav will find excuses not to have anything to do with you. But you can say it in a nice way, or you can be persistent. Right? And I know that it's a problem. It's a problem everywhere. Right? Rabbonim are busy. But L'cha'ora, I'm telling myself this now, they can't be too busy to be involved with what they're supposed to be doing. So, and their major first responsibility is to the people who are their, let's call them congregants. And the other things are secondary responsibility. Yes?
What if you believe that a community...
Just don't play this tape to my balabatim, please.
If you've lived in a community for your whole life, let's say,
And a new growth comes in for that community. You're not going to pick up and move. Then where are your obligations?
Same obligations. If he becomes the rub of the community and you live in that community, right, yeah, then you are responsible to that rub. Or if you're in a big city and you can go to another shul and you don't like that rub, right, then go to another shul. You can. You always have the choice to get yourself another rub. Okay, for whatever reason. Right, the rub insulted you, he doesn't treat you properly, he doesn't have time for you, whatever it may be, there are legitimate reasons. You just don't have your personalities clash. Right, you need a rub who is more warm and whatever, and this rub is more, you know, exacting, or the opposite. You need a rub who's exacting and not warm, and this guy's too warm for you, so anything's possible. Right. But if you choose to remain there, then you are responsible to that rub. Okay, well, he's responsible to you, Mameli is responsible to him.
Even though you're not a real rub, I've known you for many years, I've come to you for advice, which I appreciate, and you've been kind enough to give me. So, nothing wrong with that, in my opinion.
No. Nothing wrong with going to people. However, when it comes to following halacha, when it comes to being obligated to follow the directives of the person who runs your community, you're responsible. You can't go to another person and he'll tell you something different. Well, I'm doing according to this other rabbi. If it has something that has to do with the community, then you're responsible to him. If it's something personal, you can go to anybody you want for advice personally. Mm-hmm. But if it's something that affects the community, mm-hmm. then you're responsible for the rav in that community. Okay. Next. It doesn't say, Asei lecha talmidim. It says, make for yourself a rav, acquire a friend, and judge everybody favorably. It doesn't require people to make themselves students. Right? Make yourself congregants. Make yourself students. Why? Because that's something that you can't control. You can't create students. Students are attracted to people who deserve to be their rav. So you can't create also a rav who's a rav in order to have students is not a rav. The purpose of the rav is to serve the students, not the purpose of the students is to create the rav. Right? If a yeshiva is created so there can be a Rosh Yeshiva, so the Talmidim serve the Rosh Yeshiva, that's not the ideal situation. The ideal situation is that the rav is there to serve the Talmidim, not the Talmidim to make the rav into a rav. So, therefore it doesn't say, Asei Talmidim. Okay, and that Rav Yehuda Lirma says. Okay. The Baal Shem Tov says, Asei lecha rav. Make yourself a rav over yourself. Right? A person needs somebody from the outside to advise him and instruct him and guide him or whatever, but he needs to make himself also a balabos over himself. Right. You can't just rely on outside people. You have to be in control of yourself sometimes too, and not be hefker. And we said already that the purpose of going to a rav is not that he should take over your free choice, but that he should guide you. So he can only guide you if you're willing to make the right choices and you're in control of yourself. If you're not in control, nobody can control you. So first, asei lecha rav. Make yourself a rav over yourself. And then you can go and get advice and guidance from a greater rav than you, but you'll accept the advice and the direction, and you will implement it because you'll be a rav over yourself. You'll be in control over yourself also. That's also important. Okay, and another inyan is asei lecha rav, which we did speak about last week, 2 weeks ago. Asei lecha rav means make yourself into a rav in order to teach others. A person has a responsibility, and we went through this, I'm not going to go through it again. A person has responsibility, lilmod al manasalamid. You learn not for your own edification. but you learn in order to share what you're learning with other people. So you have a responsibility to be a Rav. And that doesn't mean you have to become a Rav or a Rosh Yeshiva or even a teacher. It means that you have to find opportunities to share the Torah that you learn with others that you have an influence on, whether it's your family, whether it's a neighbor, whatever it may be, a friend. You have knowledge that you can share with others, then you have a responsibility to share it with others. And in that respect, you're a Rav. The Gemara says that somebody who learns even one letter from somebody, the person has to call him his Rebbe. Doesn't have to be his formal teacher or somebody that guides him all the time. But if you learn something from somebody, they're your Rebbe. And therefore, if you teach somebody something or you share something with someone, you're their Rebbe. So you made yourself into a Rav, at least for that one specific thing at that one specific time. And a person has a responsibility to make himself into a Rav, meaning to share his Torah with other people and not keep it totally for himself. And again, that does not mean that you have to go out, that every Bachur who's learning in Yeshiva has to become a Mechanech or has to become a Rav. It means that when he's learning Torah, and everybody has a responsibility to find ways of sharing that Torah with other people.
That includes women.
Yeah. That includes women, too. Yeah. A woman can share it with her children, can share it with her husband, can share it with her neighbor, right? Women, in fact, women probably have a greater influence on the cloud than men do. Right? Women for sure have a greater influence on their own family, on their own husbands and children. That's why the women were offered the Torah first. Because, well, let me go. The Gemara says that Kosomar LeBeis Yaakov Elu HaNashim, Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed to speak to the women first and to speak to them softly, gently, and convince them to accept the Torah. And then the Sagei LeBnei Yisrael, and then speak to the men more harshly and convince them. So the Marsha says that it doesn't mean that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke twice, once to the women this way and once to the men that way, because we don't find that. We found that he spoke one thing, one way, right? Where did he speak twice? Says the Marsha, it means as the following. Kosomar LeBeis Yaakov, you, Moshe Rabbeinu, go and speak gently to the women and convince them to accept the Torah. The Sagei, and then every woman will go, and she will not speak so gently to her husband and children and make sure that they also accept the Torah. So you don't have to worry about the men. You just worry about the women. If you get the women on your side, then everything is fine. And therefore the Medrash says, why were the women approached first, or according to this, approached only? For three reasons. One is, Shemizdarzos v'mitzvus yosu min ha'ish. Women have an extra excitement, verb, when they do mitzvahs. They're more emotionally involved, so they have a greater influence. And Shemolichos is the name of Baleim LaTorah. They have a tremendous influence on their husbands and children to lead them to Torah. And lastly, because the Rabban Shem said, when I created the world, I gave the first mitzvah to the man, and the woman ruined everything. This way, if I speak to her first, maybe she won't ruin everything. But that only means the following, that a woman has tremendous influence, but it can be for the good or for the bad. She can influence her family for the good, or she can influence for the bad. We have Ashes, it says, what's it called? Chochmas Isha Bonsa Besa. The wisdom of a woman can build her home. The Idelis Biodenatar Sena, and a foolish woman destroys her home. The wife of Korach destroyed her husband. She was the one who urged him on to make the machlokas with Moshe. And the wife of On Ben Pelah saved her husband. And the Gemara says, the Medrash says, a Maisa. There was a tzaddik and a tzidkanis who were married. They got divorced. The tzaddik married a Rishita, and the tzidkanis married a Rasha. In the end, the tzidkanis turned her husband, the Rasha, into a tzaddik. And the Rishita turned her husband, the Tzaddik, into a Russian. And the Medrash says, in case you didn't get the message, Mikan Shakol Toli Beisha. Everything depends on the woman. Woman has a tremendous influence. And therefore, A woman can use that influence by sharing the Torah she has. She doesn't have to tell her husband over, you know, Gemaras, but need those. Musar, right? There are things that, what's it called, that a woman has to learn, and that, what's it called, that she can share just as much, if not more, than a man can share with somebody else and have an influence and impart Torah to others. Chochmas isha bonsa besa the iveles the yoda tahersena. Okay. Any more questions on this? If not, I think that finishes. Yeah.
I know this is a specific question. What happens when you get a notice that wants to tell you everything they learned? What do you do with such
stuff? The it's a good question. It definitely happens. We could do one of two things. You can perfect your midos by suffering through it, but that is not exactly the level that I'm on, so I'll tell you what you really can do. You can nicely ignore the person to the point we'll have to find somebody else to bother, even though there are people in this world that never take a hint. And they're like leeches, and you can ignore them, you can hit them over the head with a board, it won't help. With the people like that, I guess you have to revert to the first answer. there's no answer, there's nothing. There's not, yeah, you'll become a better person by having patience. Hebrachmanis, realize a chesed, that what's it called, that you're doing that person needs that attention. Right, and you're providing it. Right, believe me, Rabbonim have people like that in every situation. The names just change and the faces, but they're the same person. There's a certain tipus of person that needs constant. Right, I used to have hours that I was available. Right. And what most of the time I just sat there by myself, so I stopped that. Or I had people that created problems so they'd be able to talk to me during that time. If they didn't have that time, they wouldn't have created the problems. Right? People have problems, they find you. Right? It's important, they call, they come, whatever, and even if you're not such a nice person like me, you find to make time for them. You know it's important. But right, there are people who enjoy having problems, and with them, if you solve their problems, you're doing them the greatest disservice because they love having problems. Right? If you tell these people, "Oh, it's not so bad; it'll be okay," and right, they feel terrible. Right? They want to hear, "Wait, hey, that's the worst problem I ever heard in my life. It's never going to get better. I really have rahmanis on you, that's a call, and you're going to suffer for the rest of your life." Then they go away feeling great. Right? There, it's a certain personality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at a certain point, the Rav had an obligation to say to such a person, you know, you need a therapist, not a
Rav. True. But I don't like to stick these people on therapists either, because they also can't help them. Right? They don't want to be helped. They want to have tzaras. They want to be that they are the most persecuted people.
Or
the therapist, because they're getting paid, will right, keep seeing them and make sure that they know they have a lot of problems. Yeah, okay. Are you a Rob's wife? Okay. I figured you must have some connection there. The too perceptive otherwise, yeah?
You have a minute. I have a little lesson I'd like to teach.
You want to be Mekayim what I just said, yeah?
When somebody has a girl, I like to say, want to come for a brup or whatever it is, so I tell them, you should know that girls are equal children. So some people say, anyway, how do we know? Because it says the moment we're on Torah. They didn't say, I have only girls, I'm waiting for that boy, which some people do. So you should know that girls are equal children.
I hear. I hear. Okay, for sure. I know people who have only boys are just waiting for that girl. So,
I understand. Well, I had a relative like that. I had four boys first, and every time I had a boy, and she wasn't so cool, she would say, "Oh, you gotta have a girl." When I had my first girl, she said, "Thank you, close up shop. You have your girl." And I said, "No, I need another girl to be a friend to the girl."
We had four girls first. Each birth, I prepared something for the bris and had to put it away. And then we had twin boys after the four girls. And as they grew up, the biggest chesed the Rabban Shem ever did for me and my wife is to give us those four girls first. Because after that, we had six boys. And then our princess, the youngest girl. And without those first four girls, my wife would have gone out of her mind with those six boys. But they had five mothers to take care of them, so it was the biggest bracha to have those girls first. Yes?
There was somebody who described by like her advice, sent her to a therapist because she felt she had an inferiority complex. And he cured her. He told her she was inferior.
Yeah. Yes.
Said one said before about the influence that a woman has on a husband. I'm not going to say slightly very. And I can tell you that 99.5% of my clients, the men were dragged in by their wives. Literally dragged in by their wives. It's rare that a man would call me to make an appointment. I'm interested. It was always told. I got
him
to come.
Okay, and women should realize the power that they have. In a kehillah, it's always like that. If the women are in the right place, then the kehillah will be fine. If not, they can foment dissension in a kehillah behind the scenes, and it never ends. So women have a tremendous responsibility. They can make it or break it in a kehillah, in a home, or whatever. I don't want to, you know, put that, you know, guilt on a woman, but she should realize the power that she has.
Well, just put Rabbanim in a more favorable light.
Fine, okay, now you can say.
All of us here are Olim in the past few years. So we're not coming with a rug here. Okay? And I had a child. And my rug is America, and we called him. And he had to talk to my doctor. And the timing was very difficult to do. Okay. So I picked a rug from here. I had was not as complicated as this, but I respected him. And I have to tell you, he called my doctor, he called me back, he gave me time. He didn't know me from Adam.
Okay.
You know, a little bit he had heard about me, but he didn't know me personally. And it was wonderful.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. There are, believe it or not, there are some Rabbanim who are nice people. No, it's hard to believe, but... Okay. So that, I think, finishes this Mishnah. We have a little bit of time. Let me start with a question, and we'll continue this next week. We'll speak about Pesach. I'll give you something to think about for a week. The mitzvah of remembering Amalek, minimum is once a year. And you do that, you remember, and you're finished. You want to remember more, it's okay, you do it every day. But once a year is enough. On the other hand, the mitzvah of remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim is every single day, twice a day. Every Shabbos is Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. Host of mitzvahs, mezuzah and tefillin and the challah and pidyon haben are all zecher l'tzias. Every Yom Tov is zecher l'tzias Mitzrayim, which means that the minimum of being able to fulfill the mitzvah of remembering Mitzrayim is about 1,000 times a year. Now, how feeble-minded did God think we were that if we didn't remember Yetzias Mitzrayim 1,000 times a year, we'd forget it? Amalek one time a year is enough. And you see us enshrined every single day if you remember. Why? I think one time a year would be fine. Right? Especially one time a year is Pesach, right? When we really go into it for an entire night. So I think that would be sufficient. Why this obsession with Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim? That's the question that Mir Sashem we will discuss next week. we're going to, I hope, understand why that's important and what the Seder is all about and what you're supposed to accomplish by the Seder. And maybe this year you won't feel as frustrated as most people feel after the Seder's over, since it says in the middle of Haggadah, right, that the whole dor vador chayiv adam liros asatzmo ki'ilu hu yotzim mimitzrayim, that the Seder is supposed to make you feel like you personally were a slave in Egypt and went out that night. That is the purpose of the Seder. How many of you, at any Seder that you've ever been at the end of the Seder, felt like you were a slave and went free? I didn't think so. So then the Seder doesn't accomplish what it's supposed to accomplish. At least not for plain people like us. Maybe great, I didn't ask any great people, maybe they do feel like that, I don't know. But, right, my wife tells me every year she feels like a slave, she just never feels like she went out. But that's not exactly what we're talking about. So if the Seder is supposed to accomplish that, does it? How are you supposed to feel like that? What does it mean? That Amir Hashem is what we'll discuss next week.